I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful mystery.
And I'm Jay Clone 95.
And I'm doing the voice because somebody online said they hate it when I do voices.
Oh,
just
okay.
Seen that today.
Oh, that's good. That's fun.
I'm leaning into it.
That's fun to know.
Yeah. But we're not alone.
No.
And we're not even alone in studio.
Yes, this is our, what, we haven't had many in studio guests.
Our fifth in 5 years.
Yeah, probably.
So we do one a year.
That's right.
So who is it? Who is it?
We're joined today by JD with Chumming with Spirits podcast. Welcome, JD.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And they are the number one, what'd you say, paranormal podcast with a shark in the logo. Yes.
That is correct.
Take it to the bank.
thank you for coming in studio, JD. He drove all the way from Kansas City for this interview.
That's right. That's no joke.
Just for this interview.
Well, maybe that's the joke.
That's close. Close enough.
No, but yeah, your line of work takes you remarkably close to where we live.
Yes.
So that's, it works out.
Yeah, within 50 miles of where you guys are, so that kind of worked out for me.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. Small world.
Yeah. Last time we talked, you did a live in Little Rock, and I had to pass you guys because I was coming from the same place.
Like, literally, we probably were playing tag the whole way down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you started an hour behind us.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
But we stopped a lot, though.
Well, yeah, we have to.
Because it wasn't like there was active tornadoes and...
Well, there's that part, too.
Tremendous flooding.
Acts of God going on. The amount of water in Arkansas was... I wasn't prepared for, because they had flooding all over.
Well, there was trees flooding over the road? Full trees?
On our way back, there's a house floating down the river.
Huh?
Not, we didn't see it, but it was posted. Oh,
yeah. Okay. No, I was going to say, I would have remembered seeing that.
No, it was in Kentucky, because I remember I was pulling up the weather app, and
yeah,
it was saying about the flooding, and literally there was somebody's house was floating down the river.
Yeah, somehow we avoided all of it.
I mean, the spot on the highway, about to come up on the highway.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was houses down there you could just see the roofs of.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, it was great. Great.
Good times.
But that's not why you're here. We're here to talk about your amazing podcast.
Why, thank you.
So why don't you tell us about it?
So we're Chumming with the Spirits. You can find us on YouTube. We also have a standard podcast that gets released out on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, pretty much all the regular podcast feeds. For some reason, our niche seems to be YouTube. People seem to like to watch the three of us. It's me, OG, and then Parachum. We're more of a three guys on a couch conversation type podcast. We do more conversations with people versus interviews, talking about our experiences. Three of us were part of a paranormal group before COVID, and we were trying to do some film documentaries, and that COVID hit, and then we had some other setbacks here and there. And we said, you know, maybe we should just try talking and see how that goes. But so far, so good. We've been doing it for about a little over 9 months. Was our first video uploaded to YouTube. and going strong since then.
Yeah, you're almost approaching what number again?
We're right at 7.9K, so we're almost at 8,000 subscribers on YouTube as of right now.
Oh, good. Need that push over the 8.
Yeah.
The 8 hump.
But yeah, awesome. That's a big number. That's bigger than what we have on YouTube.
So what you guys come from, well, different backgrounds, but what brought you guys all together? Have you known each other for a long time?
So me and OG have been knowing each other almost 10 years now. So, I do industrial automation. So that's actually what brought me up in this area. I do programming on, they're called PLCs. I do that. I've been doing that for 25 years now. I'm old. And OG's a little bit older than me. He used to be, well, technically is, again, one of my sales guys that would come in and sell industrial equipment to me.
Hmm.
He found out I was a little bit of a nerd, you know, do D&D, comics, you know, paranormal stuff. And he had met another person through the same way that had an investigation group. During that, he invited me out to go do an investigation up in KC, which was sponsored by that investigation group, which had Parachum in it. So I got to meet Parachum through OG, which OG met Parachum through another work affiliate. And that was probably 7 years ago is when I met Parachum. Then I joined in with them for a little while. We did try to do a few investigations here and there. And like I said, then COVID kind of came in. Tried doing a documentary. We wanted to try to do some in the area. There's a few things tied to the devil. We're right by Lawrence, Kansas, which you have the Stoll Cemetery, which is supposedly a portal to hell, which was made famous by the Supernatural TV series.
There's also
a Devil's Chair up in Kirksville, Missouri, which is about 2 hours from where we're at. And then there's another cave system called the Devil's Den in Kansas that we were trying to do this trifecta documentary. And that did not go over so good. Well, I mean, trying to get that much, get interviews, get B-roll, and trying to do an hour and a half to 2 hour show is pretty hard. And then, you know, I don't know if you guys, so we do video technology on cameras has come a long way just in 5 years. So, you know, you're going along and you're like, okay, let's bring up that B roll footage from, you know, a year ago. And you're like, why is it so grainy?
Right.
Or you go to review it and sound's clipping. You're like, oh, we're going to have to refilm that. And, you know, and then reaching out, trying to get it, put on a channel, whether that be a streaming service or whatever, it gets pretty monotonous. And then we had some setbacks. We had the Devil's Chair took its toll on a couple of people. Supposedly the story behind it was if you sit in it, within 7 days, the devil will come and kill you. That's his chair. That's the legend. Well, Parachum sat in it, and so did one other person. And roughly about 2 weeks after, he got really sick. Wasn't COVID yet, got really sick. Had to go to the hospital, found out he had walking pneumonia.
Oh, wow.
So that took him out for quite some time. The other person that sat in it was pulled off his porch by his dog, landed and cracked his back, actually broke his back. That wasn't the bad part. He went in to get checked. When they checked him, he had a widowmaker. He had 4 of his 5 arteries clogged when they did a stress test. So they put him in and took care of it. Had his dog not pulled him off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he never found it.
Never found it. And so one of the things we kind of, this is actually how, you know, us starting talking about supernatural stuff is like, well, is this like, if this is the 1800s and you guys did this, because the chair is pretty old. I think it's late 1800s, early 1900s. I was like, if that happened when that chair was put in, you both would have died. Medical technology now.
Oh, yeah, they'd be dead.
They'd be dead. I'm like, so maybe the legends are still there, just we have better technology now.
Yeah,
you know,
to treat the symptoms, I guess.
Yeah. So, you know, and that kind of, then like 2 months after all that happened, COVID kicked off. And we're like, coincidental, but.
Yeah.
I was like, don't sit in the chair.
And so it's your guys' fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally blame those guys.
Yeah.
I was not there.
Yeah. Oh, you know, yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of like the kickoff of what slowed us down, because both of those guys were out of commission for quite a few months. Because walking pneumonia is...
Oh, no joke.
Yeah. Because once he figured out what he had, he's like full blown in it and, had to go...
No, they can kill you fast.
Oh, man. Well, now I know why all these stories and stuff on TV, it's all just diversion.
Yeah.
To distract from you guys sitting in the chair kicking off COVID.
He was sitting in the chair.
Yeah.
He was eating a bat.
Yeah.
We had to throw out all that lab stuff to fake it to make people think otherwise.
Right.
We took a lot of heat.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like, man. Cabin in the woods stuff.
Yeah.
Man, they really are playing 4D chess with us.
And Parachum works with viruses for animals, vaccines.
See, so it is his fault.
Yeah. Start putting your tinfoil hats on, we can get it.
He brought a bat to the devil's chair and ate it as he was sitting in it.
Oh, my gosh. All right. At least we got it all figured. I told you all the answers get found here on this show.
Yeah, you get the answers.
Gosh. Okay. All right. Enough of that. I don't want to relive those years.
No. Gosh, no. So what got you specifically then interested in the paranormal?
So, like most people that get into the supernatural side, I grew up in a haunted house.
Yeah.
So the house I lived in was a small town in Kansas called Independence, Kansas. House was built in 1912. Beautiful Victorian house. But like any other old Victorian house, we had weird stuff happening. The first aha moment for me was I have a sister 4 years older than me, and we're talking I'm only 6 or 7 during this time frame, so she's right, she'd be 10, well, a little bit older than that. I was probably 12, so she's not quite 16. I'm old, so I'm latchkey kids. This is the early 80s, and I remember I get home from school, I go turn on the TV, I'm sitting there, and it's a 4 square. The base of the house is, you have the foyer comes in, and then you got like a parlor room, a living room, and a dining room. So it's a square, and the staircase is in right when you walk in. So I hear her coming down the stairs because they're old wooden, beautiful. It was a beautiful banister going down, and I'm like, I'm gonna scare the bejeebas out of her. So I sneak over by the stairs. Get underneath the railing so she can't see me, and I get real low. And when I hear her hit the bottom landing, I jump out and go, ha, there is nobody there.
You got the bejesus scared out of you.
My brain didn't even comprehend. I ran up the stairs and opened my sister's door, and she's sitting there on her bed listening to music. And I'm like, did you just come down the stairs? And she's like, no, what are you, get out of my room.
Right, yeah.
And that was one of those, as my brain went, okay, that just happened.
Huh. So in that moment, you didn't even think of nothing paranormal. No.
Well, yeah, because my brain was like,
where's my sister?
I heard somebody come down the steps clear as day, enough that I thought I was going to scare the bejeebas. And maybe I scared the ghost. I don't know. I was taken off by it. We also would have stuff in the middle of the night. So the tall doors, wooden, the old oaken style with the skeleton key style locks.
Yeah.
So my door in the middle of the night randomly would now keep in mind, this is also with attic fans on, so you have a huge draw of air coming in through your windows, and that my door would, you'd hear the door click, swing open about a foot, and there was a big gap underneath. So if the hall light on, you could see if somebody was standing there. There wouldn't be anybody standing there. And then it would just close. Like, and I'd do that randomly, like once every two, like somebody was open the door to check in on me. Just to see if I was okay.
Uh-huh.
Which it would wake me up and freak me out.
Uh-huh.
Then the door would shut. And that happened, I can't tell you how many times.
Countless times.
And the feet on the stairs, you'd hear that randomly throughout. Like, you'd be watching TV and you'd just start hearing it. And you're like, everybody's watching TV right now. My dad always used to tell me, it was just the house settling.
Yep.
Sure. That's the age old line.
Yeah.
Which he probably didn't want to deal with it. But yeah, that's what kind of kicked me off. And my grandmother on my mom or my dad's side, she had a lot of paranormal stuff. So that also kind of made it more like she'd see dead people.
Oh.
Like relatives that passed away would come by and say bye to her or check in. She also had this knack that I re-verified with my cousin. The old landlines. Like, yeah. You'd be over at her house, you know, she'd be working, making dinner or something. She'd go, oh, hey, your Uncle Keith's about to call you. Call, tell him, I'm fixing dinner and that. And you're like, phone hasn't even ringed. And then it starts ringing. So you go pick it up and you're like, hello? Hey, this is Keith, your uncle, grandma there. I'm like, yeah, she's making dinner.
Yeah.
She'll call you back. He's like, oh, okay. You hang up. And she would do that all the time. She would know when somebody was calling her by name, like, oh, that's going to be your dad's trying to get, And after a while, you didn't think it was, weird. It was
right.
Just normal until you start talking to other people and they're like, they give you that look like, what?
Right. Yeah. Like she had caller ID before anyone else.
Caller ID. Yeah. If it was a family member. And like when I took my wife to meet her, we go in and we're sitting down and we're talking and, she tells me my great uncle came by and, said was just checking in on everybody and this and that and mentioned another person that. And she goes, it was a short visit because I wanted to make sure my grandma got to meet my wife because she was getting up there in age.
Mm-hmm.
We leave, and my wife goes, I don't think you've ever mentioned your great uncle. I'm like, well, yeah, because he kind of passed away about 10 years ago. She's like, what? I'm like, yeah, people just come through and see her and tell her if somebody in the family's doing okay or doing bad or just checking in. And she used to do that all. I mean, she had multiple out of body experiences.
Wow.
Freaked out her doctor. She was clinically dead like at least twice on an operating table. And, saw herself, saw the doctors. I mean, a whole story on herself, but that's where she kind of normalized it. So it wasn't as spooky talking about paranormal stuff. It was more of just intrigue. Well, that's really odd type stuff.
Right.
And then my kickoff moment of when I really started getting into it was probably in 1993 when Sightings did the Sally House. Mm. It was called the Ghost on the Prairie, I think. But it's the first that I know of recorded video of somebody having scratches form on their chest while they're filming.
Oh, wow.
So if you guys have never seen that, it's called Sightings. It's called the Sally House. They got documented activity from the scratches. He was getting scratched, physically scratched, while they had the cameras running. They had a rose wilt. They had a button get melted off a baby. One of those little snap bibs.
Mm-hmm.
Melted the snap, so it took the bib off the baby. It's up in Atchison, Kansas. We're actually going to go for a bucket list for me at the end of this month. We're going to go investigate it.
Well, I'm glad we're interviewing you now. And
yeah, I'll tell you how everything goes.
Well, before hopefully you die. Yeah, hopefully you can.
Before I get scratched up.
Yeah.
That's going to be the awkward part going, okay, we need everybody to get stripped down. So
yeah, take your clothes off.
We got to make sure no one's got scratches.
Gotta look. Yeah. Sorry, it's part of the process. This is science.
This is science.
This is for science.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure we grew up in the same house.
So we have one of our podcasts is called Spirit of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Name's Juan. Grew up in St. Louis in like a early 1900 house.
Mm-hmm.
He was telling his stories. And yeah, it was like we grew up in the same house. Like he had the door rattling. He had, and I actually mentioned about the stairs and he's like, oh man, I totally forgot about that. Yeah, you'd just be sitting there. And you could hear somebody coming down the stairs, clear as day, not like a creak. So I'm assuming you had something similar.
So remember, that's Sarah's boyfriend at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Listened to somebody come all the way up the stairs.
Almost the same story.
Almost the exact same story.
He was hiding in the closet.
And jumped out to grab my sister to scare her. And there was nobody in the house yet. Nobody was in the house. Nobody was there. And they stopped right in front of the door. And he was like, there must be a coat sticking out or something like that.
Like they knew he was in there.
And there's nobody there. And then mom got pushed down the stairs. I had the dryer thing break and throw me down the stairs and almost kill me.
Gosh.
There was a lot in that house. I'm just forgetting. You said so much. I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's like a checklist. And then it picks up certain things, yeah.
Yeah.
Bad houses.
Yeah, that's weird though that they're so similar. I wonder if there's something to that.
Well, I mean, because that house it is 18 something too.
Yeah,
18. I'm trying to remember now. 18.
But like the experiences, like, or if it's just a coincidence, there's only so much you can do in a house.
Did you ever find any ritual papers in the attic?
No, but the attic was really huge. Huge. It was big enough to you pretty much could be another apartment up there. And of course, the attic entryway was in my my closet.
Oh, straight great.
Up? Yeah, straight up.
Did the door come up a lot?
Yeah.
So that happened to my, that's where my dad, it was in my dad's room. Did I ever tell you this one?
Uh-uh.
So we were just talking about this at my birthday dinner. Because my wife was like, you have the craziest stories. I don't know. She didn't say they didn't happen, but she's just like, I don't understand how that all happened to you.
Yeah.
So I just started asking dad stuff, and like dad was parroting stuff back, but their little, that little square closet door, it, there's no ladder to it or nothing. It's just up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to, I mean, get a ladder to get up to it.
Getting pulled open, and it was freaking mom out. So dad went from the other side of the house, went all the way through there from the top, screwed it down, and then went down. And that next morning it was still pulled off.
Okay. Yeah. That's that, electric.
That, so then, mess with you.
And then just, I think dad did like a 4x8 sheet to the ceiling.
Yeah.
Just over the whole thing.
Yeah. You just can't even see it now.
Yeah. Because it was like 10 screws it ripped out.
Yeah. That's insane.
Because at first they're like, it has to be like a raccoon or.
It's just a really strong draft.
A really strong giraffe.
Now it's a raccoon on steroids.
Right. Yeah.
Giraffe peeking his head through the attic. You just see that coming out.
That'd be scary too. Your mom has reason to be afraid.
I'd be more scared if it was a giraffe.
Yeah. Exactly. Demon. Yeah.
How are you up there?
When I was real little, I remember that's how my parents, their bedroom closet had that little attic thing. And I remember my mom needed something, and I ran up there real fast, slammed that door open to get it. And when I slammed it open, the breeze blew that open. So it slammed shut, but that was enough to convince me there's a ghost living up there. So for about 2 years, I would never dare enter that closet. And then I did it again as I got older, and I realized, put it two and two together. And
you debunked it.
Yeah. And the fear was gone. Yeah.
Only took 2 years to figure it out.
Yeah.
When we first bought this house, it freaked Emily out because the stairwell, anytime you open a door anywhere in this house, it jumps.
Yeah.
But it's the vacuum.
Right, exactly.
Or, you know. Just because that's the only way upstairs.
Yep, so it's going to pull air.
It'll slam no matter what you do.
Uh-huh.
And I can make it slam from upstairs from my bedroom door.
Really?
Down here.
Yeah.
If you yank the door fast enough.
Yeah.
Get enough air movement.
Boom. Real loud.
The fun little qualities of your house that you find, you know?
That's why I like this one. I know who built it.
Yeah.
I've known every person that's died in here personally.
That makes it a little more reassuring, right?
Yeah, I'm the fifth. So I'm the fifth generation. Oh, sorry. I'm the fourth generation in this house. And my son and my daughters are the fifth generation in this house. So it was built by my family. And I've known all of those people that have died in here. One of them died in this room.
Isn't that nice?
Did you get EVPs every once in a while?
No.
Wow.
No, we opened the windows. They went home.
Fair. Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
That's something that's been kind of odd is the... Since we've been doing the podcasting and talking about more paranormal stuff, we've had more activity.
It looks into you. That's no joke.
That happened in your old apartment when we was recording.
Gosh, that was scary. Hey, shout out to Eric from Uncomfortable. Go check out his podcast.
Oh, yeah. Wearing a shirt right now.
Oh, you actually are. Yeah. For the
Bigfoot and Bruce.
Yeah. Love Eric to death. So everybody, go give Eric some love this week when you're hearing this.
Absolutely.
You want to tell a story? You want me to?
Oh, which one?
The one during that interview.
When we were, so we were talking to Eric from Uncomfortable, and then there's this like storage closet behind us.
We were actively, that was the last week I was in the apartment moving into here.
Yeah, because you had all the boxes boxed up in the kitchen, all the equipment, all the fish tanks were gone. So we were just sitting in an empty room basically, but there's this closet behind us and door closed and everything. And I don't remember what we were talking about for sure.
There was like hour three of that, because Eric's a good buddy of ours. So we're just hanging out, shooting the breeze kind of deal.
It was our first, like, long interview ever.
Yeah, and we had been on Bigfoot for, like, 2.5 hours, and then Eric had hopped on to hauntings, and I did not like talking about it, especially then.
Yeah.
And then
we just hear a huge crash behind us in the closet, like, real loud. So we're
real smaller than this.
Yeah.
With two doors, one goes out to the hallway, and then that door, and behind that door just sounds like a sumo wrestler came falling out of the ceiling.
Yeah.
There's nothing in there. We just moved it all out.
Yeah. No, I thought there might have been some boxes.
Maybe a couple more boxes. But
other than that, yeah.
It wasn't packed or nothing.
Yeah, there was nothing like, you weren't using it.
Yeah.
What happened was the whole ceiling, the drop ceiling, it collapsed in.
Metal rails and everything.
Yeah. It just, the whole thing fell in, just in that room.
So that's, I can't remember what interview that was. It's public. You can listen to it.
It's with Eric.
Yeah, I know. I don't know which one it was.
I think it's our first one with him.
It may have been.
I think so.
But you guys listen, because we left it in.
Yeah.
Because we're like, you could just hear in the background, and everything goes silent, and Eric's like, you guys okay?
Yeah, yeah, huh? And like, then we had stuff happen. His kitchen. His kitchen was all boxed up and things like that.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And a couple times, some stuff had just fallen over. But I mean, that could be anything. But
and then the ghost footprints.
It was that was before.
Oh yeah, I'm just saying in that apartment.
Oh, in that apartment, yeah, yeah. I just meant while we were recording. That's what happened.
Recording, yeah.
Yeah.
There was some weird stuff in that.
Mm-hmm.
A reptile rat caught on fire.
Huh?
What?
One of my snake racks. You remember?
Oh, it's not what I heard you say.
What'd you hear?
Reptile rat.
Rack.
Rack. I heard the rack.
Oh, you did hear rack. Okay.
Right. Reptile rack.
I was like, a reptile rat? Like, yeah, it should be on fire.
No, so it's a ball python snake rat. It doesn't matter for anything. It's got heat tape on it, which is famous for being extremely safe. Like, it doesn't get that hot.
No, uh-uh.
And fires with it are, I mean, extraordinarily rare.
Yeah.
Because they replaced all the heat rocks and stuff like that, burnt houses down forever. And when it caught fire, the snake was fine. He was pushed up against. But ball pythons are kind of dumb. They don't really know when they're getting too hot until it's too late. So they'll burn really bad. But I'm lucky he was in the front. But yeah, no, one caught fire. Right? It was in that room.
Oh, that's crazy.
And flooded the downstairs twice.
I'm glad we're out. Yeah, yeah. But that wasn't paranormal.
No, that was me.
Reverse siphon on a fish tank.
That one was an accident. A piece of tube had fallen in a 55-gallon. Didn't know it. Came home, and the 55-gallon was empty.
Just siphoned it all out.
Yeah.
And so,
that's a lot of water.
Yeah,
55 gallons.
It was gone. It was all gone.
Oops.
And then the other
time, downstairs neighbors probably were not happy.
Well, that one was just my landlord's like storage closet.
Oh, phew.
I offered to pay, and he's like, "What? It's fine."
Yeah.
But I'm related, kind of related to the landlord at that place.
So right.
A little easier. The other one, I did destroy the guy's work stuff below.
Yeah, that's not good.
And yeah, because the sink. Something in the sink had fallen when I was running. And remember that back kitchen? This matters for nobody. That back kitchen sink would do like 20 gallons a minute. Remember, it had all that pressure.
Pressure coming out. Okay.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
It would hurt if you put your hand under it.
Oh.
It's hooked right straight directly up to the water tower.
Well, there was. Remember, it does have a little water tower in the building.
Oh, yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, for pressure.
Oh, there you go. That is. Probably is. Yeah. It's probably the first line.
But it's closest.
That's what I'm saying.
But, something had flipped under it while I was filling up fish tanks.
It blocked it.
Didn't know it. Came around the corner. And it had just been
running over,
pouring out. Called him. Second time it happened. And he's just like, I'll just tell the guy stuff happens.
Yeah, I guess all you can do, really.
And I'm like, all right.
All right, click.
Thanks, I guess.
No, I know. I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
I offered to fix it. And he's like, no, I'll do it.
Good landlord.
So what do you?
For you.
Yeah, for me. Got questions for you now. You ready, JD?
I'm ready.
What do you think Bigfoot is? Three-word answer only.
Three-word answer only. What is Bigfoot? A myth, monster, a really good mullet.
That's like five words. Six words.
I think it's real.
Okay, that's good.
You can use more words.
Just saying.
Oh,
I was going to say Bigfoot. So I've never had a cryptid experience. Hoping to maybe check out your Ohio Grassman if I can find grass.
Oh, yeah.
Because you got a ton of fields.
You're on side of Ohio.
I know. That's what I found out. Now that I know that there's stuff near KC, I'm going to go check it out. But
yeah, up there. And I can, like, tonight I'll give you some spots.
Absolutely.
Because we just did a documentary with the crew up there. Relatively recently, last fall, and there are some weird spots up there by him, and then anywhere down by Hawking is nuts. Conkle's Hollow is the one I always suggest for new people to the area because it's easily accessible. The trails are mild, and there's tons of Bigfoot sightings. It's one of the biggest hotspots. Tower Hollow is another super famous one down there for like just running into Bigfoot, and when you get down there, you can figure out why because it's. It's literally field. Hills and hollers.
Yeah, instantly.
But yeah, so what do you think Bigfoot is?
I think we lump a lot of stuff in Bigfoot. Case in point, I really didn't pay much attention to Dogman. I always just thought it was part of the Bigfoot lore. Now, the more I get into it, the more I'm realizing that there's been sightings of that for a long time. But you deal with ape creature. North American ape. There are a lot of, trying to think what Matt calls them, ahas, you know, where it's supernatural portals, orbs. I think we're trying to shove everything in one bucket. I think there's probably different subspecies. There are supernatural things in the forest that could be called a Bigfoot. I think there's a physical large ape out there. What it could do, I don't know, because the more and more I get into it, the more and more I meet people that are telling me crazy things that, like, you're not going to believe this, but this is what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, how do you refute that? You
know, right.
I'm the one telling them about my door opening up by itself and trying to scare a ghost. So
yeah,
it's interesting. I think with the dermal ridges and the handprints that I've seen, there's something physical out there. What can it do? I don't know. I think that's what we're all trying to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so in Kansas, in the Midwest where I'm at, even up in here, generally they're reported between 7 to 8 foot. The ones near me, like Falk and Momo, they're more aggressive the shorter they are. They seem to be, like, I don't know if it's because they've been singled out. They're smaller. They feel more territorial. Mm-hmm. Versus, I just was at Mount St. Helens trying to make Ape Canyon, because that's a bucket list. Didn't quite make it up there. There's snow still up there.
But oh, wow.
Yeah, the roads are closed. That's a large, long march.
Huh.
I'll try again when it's warmer.
Yeah.
But up there, they're between 8 to 10 foot. And then you get up into British Columbia, they're talking about 10 to 15 foot tall.
Hmm.
But, you know, is that just environmental growing, or are they subspecies? You know, skunk ape down in Florida. That one, though, could be released animals from hurricanes. So that's kind of a.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it could literally be an orangutan or, you know, great ape of some sort that got. The hurricanes go through and wipe.
Oh, displace many things.
Florida has, we talked about it a long time ago. 2/3 of species in Florida are invasive or non-native.
That's crazy to think about.
And they have 1,200 species of vertebrate, I believe, something like that.
Well, the only thing keeping it at bay is they have crocodiles and alligators that will eat most of that. Otherwise, it could be really rampant down there. Now, the invasive fish species. Pretty bad down there too.
Oh no, the fish are like you. It's hard to not catch invasive fish in Florida.
In Florida, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I think that's what we think too.
Yeah, we're
don't know what Bigfoot necessarily is, but there's a lot of things that fall under the umbrella of Bigfoot. We just know the phenomena of Bigfoot is real.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah, I mean, because you don't
really, you seeing one and
yeah,
me just same thing with you.
And I've said it. I never blame anybody for not believing in it, because I wouldn't if I didn't see one.
Right. Really, yeah. Wouldn't. Yeah.
I mean, I've seen some pretty strong evidence. Like, mm-hmm. We just did an interview with a author, and he has a trail cam footage of a hand that would be really, really hard to fake, you know, because it's really clear. He's got some other photos and all that, you know. But like I said, the what got me is, like, we're going back and looking at the stuff from Patterson and Gimli. You can look at you have a print somewhere.
Well, we have the Bob Gimlin up here.
Yeah, but if you look at the prints that they pulled, there's dermal ridges in the print. Mm-hmm. They didn't know about dermal ridges back then. They didn't understand about the break in the foot.
Yeah, the metatarsal break.
Yeah, the metatarsal break. Mm-hmm. The fact that it's a female. Now that we've looked at it.
Big mammillary glands.
Yeah. Well, and then the muscle suit for that technology wasn't even around. 1966, 67 is Planet of the Apes. That was the best they could do to get monkey, you know, ape looking people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, there's been a lot of people saying, you know, hoaxes and all that, but I Ape Canyon, Portlock, there's tons of records of, they call them mountain devils or, apes, weird names, but predate all that. I mean, they were out there going to look for something that they had heard about. It wasn't just, you know, Bigfoot came up later. They were there
by other things. Not just a modern new thing.
And then we're finding out they seem to be more social. You know, what we're finding out, it's, if you see one, there's probably others around it. You just don't realize it. You know, and we can go look at modern stuff that we're finding and then go back and look at the old prints, because we were lucky enough from, you know, all the way back to the 40s, they've been taking casts of these things. So you can find the ones that are fake, You can find the ones that are real, you know, and then, you know, that's nice thing about Bigfoot in general. There's something physical making this stuff. What it is, we're not sure. But it's really hard to get a footprint off a ghost.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a t-shirt.
Yeah, that is true.
That's a t-shirt right there. Really hard to get a footprint off a ghost. Well, after this interview and before we start our Patreon night, I have something really special to show you in the other room if you're a big fan of the Patterson-Gimlin film and the cast.
Yeah. OG just bought a cast from Russell Accord that was signed by Bob.
Never mind. You won't find it as cool.
If you have one of those, it's always cool.
Yeah. No, I got one of Bob Gimlin's last hand-poured ones from his charity event.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
Because that's...
From the Cowboy Shack.
Yeah.
If anybody didn't know, the Cowboy Shack is where Bob where he took the original cast and would make replicas for people. And a couple years ago, Russell Accord helped put together a charity event for him.
Up in Michigan, yep.
Yeah, and had 51 of them, right?
No, I don't think there was even that
maybe
many.
30 of them? They were numbered.
I think it was like, yeah, maybe 30 or 25 to 30, something like that.
I think do I have three or four? Now I don't remember. Or I may have two.
I thought you only had two, and I thought you gave one away.
Number two.
Oh, you got number two. Okay.
Because I did give a lower number away.
I thought so.
Because I tried to buy number one, and it went for quite a bit of money.
Yeah.
But, the Cowboy Shack was the last pouring he did in the Cowboy Shack.
Now, I mean, the shout-out, I got to meet Russell Accord at the Missouri Paracon.
Oh, okay.
He's really nice guy.
Very.
I had no idea. He is 60 years old.
Yeah.
He does not look.
No.
He doesn't look at all. I'm not a small guy. He makes me look small. I'm 6 foot. He's probably
Jay was
going to
arm wrestle him one night.
Yeah,
I would have won. I still don't remember this, but I would have won.
We were at a conference.
Hey, I just say I was undefeated that night. Yeah, just saying. Shout out to Paul.
We winked at Russell, and we were yelling like Jay was calling Russell names, and Jay did not know. And we were like, "Yeah, you can't take Russell in a fight." Russell was in on the joke.
Yeah.
I don't remember this at all, though.
No. But yeah. I mean, we were. Drinking quite a
That's
bit.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Parachum thought he was a roadie. He came over, asked to borrow one of our carts because they didn't have any carts for the Paracon. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And he's like, well, who was that guy? I'm like, you don't know who that is?
That's Russell Accord.
That was Russell.
It's really like, sweet.
Well, yeah, no, he was him and Miora. I can never pronounce her name.
Yeah,
right?
Dr.
Mariah Taylor?
Meyer. She also really nice. They did a great presentation speaking.
We don't get to meet her very much at the after because she's very popular.
Yeah, we only met her that one time. Where was that at? With Lyle was there out behind that hotel.
South Virginia Bigfoot and Friends.
Was that it? Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
That's the only time we really...
Lyle Blackburn's another super nice guy.
Haven't met him yet. Know who he is.
Oh, he is awesome.
I'm a big Boggy Creek guy.
If you want to talk Boggy Creek, Blackburn's your guy.
Yeah.
Oh, he's super awesome.
And
super
he's just
nice.
Sweet. He's just him and his girlfriend are just...
Oh, she's super nice too,
They're just the nicest people.
Uh-huh.
And that's, I could count the number of people I've not enjoyed on one hand in the Bigfoot community.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Which is nice. You know, at least with my age demographic, I grew up seeing, Lyle on Monster Quest when it was coming out and, you know, finding Bigfoot and... Expedition Big, you know, all that stuff. And then you get to meet the people, and they're most of them are extremely sweet, just down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
How great was Monster Quest?
The best thing.
Such a great show. And they actually got people with, you know, doctors and that to come in.
Yeah.
I kind of miss that they don't do that sort of stuff anymore.
I'll just say that now it's like stuff on History Channel. It's just like the fun, not history stuff.
So, we got to cut it short. We're going to definitely have you back on, and we're going to have your crew on through various other means as well.
Yes.
I'm back at the end of May. Back at end of June, week of June 23rd, I believe I'll be out.
Well, one of us will be here.
Absolutely, yeah. We should both be here, I would think.
One of you guys, at least.
Yeah.
I didn't know you had national bowling. I don't remember.
That's beginning of June.
Okay.
National bowling tournament.
But once again, go through your podcast, say where everybody can follow you, if they want to contact you, all that stuff.
So it's Chumming with the Spirits. Easy to find. Look for the big shark logo holding a beer. Like I said, number one podcast with a shark logo for paranormal. We're on YouTube. Chumming with the Spirits there. Spotify, Amazon, Music, Apple. We have a webpage. It's I'm at CWTSpodcast.com. You can buy our merch there. We have shirts, shot glasses, other stuff. We are going to be at the Paracon KC August 2nd, October 4th. We're going to be at the Bigfoot, Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree number 2.
There we go.
Looking forward to that. The amount of people that are going to be there and hopefully get a few podcasts because all three of us will be there. Be able to talk to all you guys and get you guys on our show because we realize we do better in person.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like it's, we're doing right now.
Yeah, it's definitely more fun and easier.
Yeah, it's got to be the fun part for us because that's the only thing three older guys talking about paranormal and people like watching us. So it's got to be fun.
Absolutely. You're doing something right, I'd say.
I'm trying. I mean, looking at you guys have done a phenomenal job in 4 to 5 years. You've built a lot of stuff.
We've had a lot of help and we've been very blessed.
Yes, very, very appreciative.
So before we go here, we have a tradition when we have a guest on. We're going to count backwards from three. And at the end, we're all going to yell bye. Are you ready? All right. 3, 2, 1.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's policygenius.com.